Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So this morning we'll read in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 5, Vidura talks with Maitreya. And today's text is number 23, right? 22. Okay, and then we're going to go on to 23 because 22 has a very short purport. Te Bhagavalo Lila. Yoga Mahayo Ubhrimitaha. Vishwasit Yud Bhavantarta. Bhavanayam. Hanupur Vasaha Therefore, Te, unto you, Bhagavat, pertaining to the personality of Godhead, Leela, pastimes, Yogamaya, energy of the Lord, Guru, greatly, Brahmita, extended by Vishva of the cosmic world, Stiti, maintenance, Udbhava, creation, Unta, dissolution, Artha, purpose, Varnayami, I shall describe, Anupurvasa, systematically. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada ki. I shall therefore describe to you the pastimes by which the personality of Godhead extends His transcendental potency for the creation, maintenance, and dissolution of the cosmic world as they occur one after another. Purport. The omnipotent Lord, by His different energies, can perform anything and everything He likes. The creation of the cosmic world is done by His yoga maya energy. Text 23. Bhagavan eka asedhang agra atman nam vibho atmej chanu gatav atma nana mat yu halakshana. The personality of Godhead, the master of all living entities, existed prior to the creation as one without a second. It is by His will only that creation is made possible, and again everything merges in Him. This Supreme Self is symptomized by different names. Purport. The great sage here begins to explain the purpose of the four original verses of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Although they have no access to the Srimad Bhagavatam, the followers of the Mayavad impersonalist school sometimes screw out an imaginary explanation of the original four verses, but we must accept the actual explanation given herein by Maitreya Muni, because he, along with Uddhava, personally heard it directly from the Lord. The first line of the original four verses runs, Aham evasum evagre. The word aham is misinterpreted by the Mayavad school into meanings which no one but the interpreter can understand. Prabhupada put a little pun there. Here, aham is explained as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, not the individual living entities. Before the creation, there was only the personality of Godhead. There were no Purusha incarnations, and certainly no living entities, nor was there the material energy by which the manifested creation is affected. The Purusha incarnations and all the different energies of the Supreme Lord were merged in Him only. The personality of Godhead is described herein as the master of all other living entities. He is like the sun disk, and the living entities are like the molecules of the sun's rays. The existence of the Lord before the creation is confirmed by the Shrutis. Vasudevo va idam agra asrita brahmana chasankara eko vai narayana asin na brahma leshana. Because everything that be is an emanation from the personality of Godhead, he always exists alone without a second. He can so exist because he is all perfect and omnipotent. Everything other than him, including his plenary expansions, the Vishnu Tattvas, is his part and parcel. Before the creation, there were no Karanarvasahi or Gavardakshai or Kshiradakshai Vishnu. Or was there Brahma or Sankar? The Vishnu plenary expansion and the living entities beginning from Brahma are separated parts and parcels. Although the spiritual existence was there with the Lord, the material existence was dormant in him. By his will only is the material manifestation done and undone. The diversity of the Vaikuntha Loka is one with the Lord, just as the diversity of soldiers is one with and the same as the king, as explained in Bhagavad Gita 9:7. The material creation takes place at intervals by the will of the Lord, and in the periods between dissolution and creation, the living entities and the material energy remain dormant in him. Om Gyanatmanandasya Gyananjana Salakaya Chakshur Mulitam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Mukham Krotu Vachalam Pangundam Maise Gurim Yat Kripasara Ambande Shigurum Dinadaranam Vanchakalpati Vishcha Kripa Sindhu Devita Bodhidhanam Pavane Vyo Vaishnave Vyo Namo Namaha Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasati Gaur Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama Rama Rama. So here it's describing that Krishna is the master of all living entities. Nityo Nityanam Chaitanas Chaitananam. That there's many eternals, but there's one eternal who is maintaining all the other eternals. So this is Krishna. Everything is being maintained by Krishna. Qualitatively, we're one with the Lord. Quantitative is a big difference. And just like here we have this big ocean close to us. You take one drop, and the quality is the same as the whole ocean. But the quantity is a big difference. So there's a big difference between us and Krishna in quantity. So here Prabhupada mentions that that the Mayavadis, they like to misinterpret the Vedas, especially this word aham. It's like there was one Mayavadi that said that it's not unto Krishna that we serve, but unto the unborn within Krishna. And so there's a difference between the within and the out of Krishna. Krishna is completely spiritual, but he doesn't have, there's no within and without. So there's so much speculation. So Prabhupada, he came to clear everything up, actually. There's so much illusion, there's so much cheating going on. So he came to clear everything up so that we could see things properly. Just like there are so many Bhagavad Gitas in the West before Prabhupada came to the West. Hundreds of them. But no one became a devotee of Krishna until Prabhupada came. And then thousands of people became devotees of Krishna. Personally, when I read the Bhagavad Gita, I was convinced Krishna's God. I started chanting Hare Krishna, following the regular principles. It's just such a powerful presentation. Prabhupada's pure Bhagavad Gita. When I heard about the Bhagavad Gita and it was recommended to read, and I went to the library, public library, there was 4 Bhagavad Gitas to choose from. So I'm thinking, whoa, which one? Fortunately, the BBT made ours look very attractive, so I pulled that one out. God knows where I'd be now if I would have pulled out another one. So Prabhupada gave us Bhagavad Gita as it is. And all the others are Bhagavad Gita as it isn't. It's not the real truth. Everybody's given their own interpretation of Krishna's words. And Prabhupada would chastise these people. He said, all right, you want to present your own philosophy? All right, good. Don't use Bhagavad Gita. Why does everybody have to use Bhagavad Gita? Yeah. Everybody's got to give their own interpretation. Even Gandhi. So respected in India, the father of the country. And what did he say? The Pandavas are the 5 senses. This is total speculation. And Kurukshetra is the body. There's so much speculation. So Prabhupada wanted to come and give us the pure message of Krishna so that we can advance in spiritual life. He's very compassionate. So we're very fortunate, but we're not only interested in our own good fortune. That's why we have these marathons. To increase the good fortune of people around the world. Actually, people are very unfortunate because they're lacking Krishna. So we want to give them Krishna, we want to give them this knowledge so that they can understand who they are. Now they're all an illusion, thinking I'm Australian, or I'm American, or I'm Chinese, I'm Indian. This is all just illusion, just Maya. It's not reality. It's like this. Prabhupada mentions here in the beginning of the purport that Maitreya Rishi, he's explaining these 4 original verses. So one of them is Ritirtam Yit. Anyway, something like that. That whatever appears to be reality but has no connection to me, know that to be my illusory energy or that reflection which appears in darkness. It's like you might be in a very dark room and you see some light. It's just a reflection coming from somewhere else. So this material world, it's a very dark place. It's a very dark place. And Krishna comes to put light into this darkness. And that's this knowledge. That's this transcendental knowledge that we've been given. Tamasimam Jyotirgama, come out of the darkness and go to the light. So the light is Krishna consciousness. And everything else is darkness. And keeps us bound in this material world. So this is the goal of life, is to get purified, to attain this light of Krishna consciousness. And try to help as many others as we can to also come out of darkness. It's an uncomfortable thing to be in darkness. Everybody wants to see. Therefore, people that are blind, they feel themselves very unfortunate. They can't see. So practically everybody is blind in this world. Janaka Pandit says that there's 4 types of blindness. Blinded, where one is physically blind, can't see. Or one is blinded by pride, one is blinded by greed, and one is blinded by lust. Which do you think is the worst? someone is proud, then they can't take good instruction. Who are you to tell me what's right? I know. And even it said that you give a fool good instruction, and what is it? What happens? He gets angry. Yeah. You give a fool good instruction, and he'll get angry because of pride. So pride's a problem. It's a big problem. And therefore, Lord Chaitanya, he said this verse, to not appease Nijina, should be worn around, actually, Krishna Das Kaviraj said, be worn around one's neck, make oneself lower than the straw in the street, more taller than the street, avoid of all sense of falseness, he's ready to offer our respects. It's so important, this humility. Otherwise, we can't hear. We can't hear properly. So, Prabhupada came to give us this knowledge so we can hear the truth. There's so much cheating going on. There's so many Mayavadis, preaching all kinds of nonsense. And people are victims. People don't know. So much ignorance, so people don't know. Being cheated. Like there was one person, Prabhupada was traveling down India with some devotees, and they went to one city, and there was one person, one sadhu there, he had taken a vow of monam. He hadn't spoken in 25 years, and he was very famous in that particular city, and Prabhupada wasn't impressed. He said, actually, all these swamis, they should all take the vow of monam, because when they speak all nonsense. But there was one instance where devotees were doing a padyatra around India, and they went to this one village, and there was one man that was so impressed with the devotees, the Harinam and the preaching, and he was just so impressed that he took a vow of monam until they came back, because he heard they're going around India, and he thought, I'm going to take a vow of monam until you come back to this city. But what was he doing? He was doing his work. He had his family. And he was only reading Prabhupada's books. Every spare moment, he was just reading Prabhupada's books. And finally, they came around. I think it was maybe a few years later. They came around again. And it was a big thing in this town. There was a stage set up, and thousands of chairs, because this gentleman was going to speak. He became famous in this town. So the devotees came, and this man was so ecstatic to see the devotees again, because he had been absorbing Prabhupada's books for this 3 years, hadn't spoken. So they had a huge kirtan, and then he spoke for 2 hours. The Krishna conscious philosophy. And everybody was just like, awed by this, by his realizations. Imagine just reading, just didn't speak a word, just hearing Prabhupada for 3 years, and he just gave a wonderful class. So this is the, now that monam is okay. But he just wants to hear. And actually, it's described that the devotees also, they practice this monam. So to just speak about Krishna, that's also monam, because you're not speaking nonsense. Yeah. And it's interesting that Raghunath Das Goswami, he asked for some personal instruction from Lord Chaitanya. He actually never spoke to Lord Chaitanya. He had so much awe and so much reverence for Lord Chaitanya that he would communicate with Lord Chaitanya through Swarup Damodar. So he asked him, please ask him for some personal instruction. So Lord Chaitanya said, do not speak like the ordinary people, nor hear what they have to say. Don't eat very rich, palatable food, don't dress very nicely. He was the son of a multi-millionaire. So he had all opportunity for these things. And he said, do not expect honor, but respect all. Give respect to everyone. Always chant the holy name. And within your mind, always serve Sri Sri Radha and Krishna in Vrindavan. So these are the seven instructions that he gave to Raghunath Das Goswami. But that was the first one. Do not talk like the people in general, or hear what they have to say. It's like there's so much news. It's all bad news. This is the good news. So we want to give out the good news. People are absorbed. I think Prabhupada gave that example there was one Christian preacher in Ireland, and he was preaching to the workers that you have to serve Lord Jesus Christ. This will help you to become happy, and your life will become glorious. And they said, "Oh, okay. What number is he? What's his number?" Because they all worked in the mine. They all had numbers on their back, like a prison or something. What's his number? No, he doesn't have a number. He's the Supreme Lord. He's the servant of God. He's come to help us. He's come to help us to go back to the spiritual world, to the kingdom of God. And they said, well, what's the kingdom? Or no, and if you don't go back to the kingdom of God, then you're going to go to hell, a horrible place. And they said, oh, what's hell like? It's very dark. Not a nice place. They said, well, sounds like the mines that we're working in. It can be that bad. He said, no, there's no newspapers. Oh, horrible. No newspapers. So people are addicted to the news. Prabhupada would say that New York Times is so big it would take more than 24 hours to read. And they buy it, and then what do? After they buy it, they throw it in the trash. That's useless. Throw it in the trash. But this knowledge that we have is so valuable that you can read the Bhagavad Gita, Prabhupada says in one purport, you can read it thousands of times. And each time you read it, you'll get new insight in the subject matter. It doesn't get old. Actually, Krishna was blessed by Sandipani Muni, that whatever you speak will be ever fresh. Of course, Krishna doesn't need blessings, but Krishna was blessed in this instance by his guru. And it's true. Whatever Krishna speaks is ever fresh. And when Krishna was trying to convince Nanda Maharaj to not worship Indra, but to worship Govardhan Hill, there was one elderly lady there hearing Krishna convincing Nanda Maharaj to do this. And she said that when Krishna was speaking, it was just like nectar coming out of his mouth. Yeah. Imagine hearing Krishna speak. Yeah. Actually, the Bhagavad Gita, it's a song of God. He sang this, the Bhagavad Gita. Because yeah. In the spiritual world, there's no one talks. Everybody is singing. There's no walking. Everyone's dancing. So this is what we're offering to people. And the transcendental words of Krishna, which will liberate them from material existence. They can go back to the spiritual world. So this is the greatest offering. This is the greatest welfare activity that's going on on the planet. We're offering them this philosophy by which they can understand who they are, and we're offering them the greatest goal. So many people are frustrated because they have no real goal in life. People commit suicide. Thousands of people commit suicide because they just, what's the use? Just working hard, I'm not happy. No goal in life. I was just speaking to Aniruddha Prabhu yesterday, and he said, my life was just so useless. I had no goal in life. But then when I got these books, and I thought, oh, here's a goal. You know, here's a goal in life. To reach perfection. What a great goal. To understand who we are, to understand who God is, to develop our love for God. Yeah. What a great goal. So we want to give this knowledge out so people have a goal in life. They have something of value, some valuable knowledge, valuable information. Now people go to the university and they're teaching atheism. Teaching atheism. Just like they have this, they teach this Big Bang theory. It's so ridiculous. You know, they say that there was a point, a very small point of matter, right? And it expanded. You ask them, well, where did the point come from? I don't know. Why did it expand? And from this point of matter, which expanded, that's why they call it the Big Bang, because it expanded. And they say it happened 8 million years ago or something. So you know why they call it the Big Bang theory? Because there is no observable evidence. And science means observable evidence. And that's why it's also the theory of evolution. No observable evidence. But still, it's taught in all the universities of the world, practically. These two theories, where there's no observable evidence, is taught as though it's a fact. I mean, if you teach or you speak to some students at the university this evolution theory is not actually real. It's just a fabrication. They get upset. They get angry. I've seen it happen. They actually become angry. What are you talking about? It's not a theory. It's like gravity is not a theory. So they think it's like that. There's so much indoctrination in this illusion. So I call this scientific mythology. Mythology of science. Because that's what it is. It's just, there's no proof. There's no proof to it. So we have to, Prabhupada came to expose all these rascals. And he did a good job of it. So much cheating. He said, it's like they have this missing link in the evolution theory. And you know what Prabhupada said? He said that the missing link is my boot in your face. Of the evolutionists. Yeah. Actually, there's more than one missing link. There's many missing links. Because there's no observable evidence of any species turning into another species. There's no evidence. And how many species are there? So there's thousands and thousands of missing links, right? Because there's no evidence of any species going into another species. They have the fossils of the monkeys, but they have they still have monkeys here. I mean, the fossils of the human beings, there's no evidence of that. Actually, to the contrary, this devotee that wrote that Forbidden Archaeology, Due to Karma. He's got this huge book, Forbidden Archaeology. Archaeologists found evidence that this is simply false information. This evolution idea. He's writing a book right now, actually. He's got more evidence that this is just fabrication, just illusion. A lot of scientists very upset with Tutankhamun. And people are buying these books a lot. They're going in universities also. And bookstores, and people are buying them a lot. So this is good. Prabhupada said, I want to clear up two things. They think that there is no life after death. And they think that life comes from matter. These two things he wanted to clear up. So all this information, all this wisdom is in Prabhupada's books. We have to get these books out. To give them a goal in life. Clear up all this illusion that they're being fed in these universities. It's so horrible. I'll give you an amazing example that there was one. I had my book table at one university. And I was I mainly distribute Bhagavad Gita. So one professor came and he saw the Bhagavad Gita. So I asked him, "What do you teach?" He said, "I teach religion." I said, "Oh, you teach religion. Do you believe in God?" "No." So this is cheating. They're not teachers, they're cheaters. Here he's teaching religion, but he doesn't believe in God. So I asked him, "Did you believe in God before you started your education to be a professor of religion?" He said, "Oh, yes." He believed in God before he started his education to become a teacher and professor of religion. But after coming through the educational system, he became an atheist. So this is what we have. Kali Yuga. Full-on Kali Yuga. And it's just getting worse. Atheism is increasing. So we have to get this divine knowledge out to the people so they have a clear understanding. Actually, one of the reasons that they come up with all these ideas, the scientists come up with the ideas of the Big Bang and the evolution theory, is because what else do they have? The Bible, which is also lacking quite a bit. Even Jesus said, "I'd tell you more, but you wouldn't understand." Now, what does the Bible say about the creation? Anybody know? How old is this planet, according to the Bible? Anybody know?
1,000 years.
How many?
1,000 years.
Yeah, not very old. Do you know? 4,000 years. Yeah, or something, 4,000 or 6,000, something like that. Which is completely ridiculous. I mean, and this is why they had to come up with something else. I mean, we have these fossils that are millions of years old, and they are, it's true, they're millions of years old. And we say that the most intelligent person, or the first person, was the most intelligent, Lord Brahma. And he created the planets and the universes. Krishna himself, God doesn't have to, these little things, God, he has somebody else do it. So he doesn't even get involved in these things, he's just up there having a good time. Of course, he comes to help us. So the most intelligent person, he's doing all the creation, creating planets. Even there's yogis that can create planets. You don't even have to be Lord Brahma to create a planet. But this is why the scientists come up with these other ideas. It's just totally ridiculous that this planet is 4,000 or 5,000 years old. Right? So they have to come up with these other ideas. So, any question? Yes, Rahul.
How important is confidence?
Confidence. Very important. Extremely important. We have to have faith. And from faith, we become confident. Therefore, we have to read Prabhupada's books. We have to read Prabhupada's books. Generally, when I go out on book distribution, I've read minimum 1 hour before I go. And mostly 2 hours. Average. Because this is where we get inspiration. This gives us a desire to distribute this knowledge. And throughout Prabhupada's books, He's expressing the importance of distributing this knowledge. So then you get inspired to distribute. And the book that gives me most inspiration to distribute books is the Bhagavad Gita. The very, very concentrated nectar. So when I finish reading it, I just start reading it again. And now Vaisheshika Prabhu, he has this program called the CHAD. You ever heard of the CHAD program? Anybody ever heard of the CHAD? It's chapter a day. Bhagavad Gita. So we're very close, so he got me into the CHAD program. So chapter a day, the Bhagavad Gita. But then I have two markers in the Bhagavad Gita. I have a marker where I'm reading the translation and the purport, because I don't think Prabhupada would be very pleased if we just read the English verses. So two book markers in the Bhagavad Gita. And it's just so inspirational. Of course, the Srimad Bhagavatam, also Chaitanya Charitamrita, Nectar Devotion. We have so many nice books that will inspire us to distribute books. And if we don't read, then it's going to be difficult to be inspired to distribute. Prabhupada, many times he asked the Sankirtan devotees if they're reading the books. And often they would say, Prabhupada, we don't have much time. And he would be upset. He would be upset. I didn't write these books for them. I wrote them for you, for my disciples, not just for them. And then when they ask you, what are the books about? Oh, I don't know what the books are about. I just distribute them. We look like a fool. They ask us about the books. Oh, I don't know what they're about. Sorry. No, we have to read the books. Attentively. And by that attentive hearing, then we get this inspiration. Any other question? Or comment? Yes, sir. That means that in the material world, he's talking about in the material world, there wasn't, because Kshiradakshai Vishnu, Karnadakshai Vishnu, Garbhadakshai Vishnu, they're all there in the material world. So there was nothing before Krishna. There was no material world. So that's what he's explaining. None of that was in the material world. But then, because of our desire, we come to the material world, then the living entities come. Shiradakshai Vishnu comes, Karanakshai Vishnu, Gavardakshai, all that comes because of our desire to enjoy separate from Krishna. So that's when the living entities come to the material world. And actually there is no Paramatma in the spiritual world. Because the Paramatma is there only for the forgotten or for the souls that are forgotten Krishna. A devotee gave a nice example that you have a family that you're very close to. When you go traveling, you may take a picture of your family to just remind you of your family. But then when you come back to your family, you don't need the picture anymore. You don't have to put the picture up anymore because you're with your family. So the Paramatma, he's there with us. Because we've drifted away. We've forgotten Krishna. So when we go back to the spiritual world, it's not necessary anymore to have Paramatma because we're with Krishna again. So Krishna never leaves us. You see how kind. He'll never leave us. Even someone is the most rascal, biggest rascal, the president of the atheistic society, pushing atheism. Even Krishna is there. Hitler, Stalin, he's there. He'll never leave us. Just see what a kind friend. We can just be the biggest rascal. He'll never leave us. Such a kind friend. And he's always waiting for us to turn to him. And when we do, he'll forget all the nonsense that we did. You know, to forgive and forget, it's difficult. To forgive, all right, then. But to forget, that's the tough part. But Krishna forgets it all when we actually surrender. He's very tolerant. Krishna is very tolerant. We can be such rascals, but he's still there just waiting for us to turn to him. So we can learn from Krishna's tolerance. Okay, anything else? Yes?
Where does it say Krishna forgets? Can you explain more?
How Krishna forgets? Well, we are so offensive to Krishna. And because we're so offensive to Krishna, he doesn't reveal himself. But when we surrender to Krishna, then Krishna, he will forget all of our offenses, all of our all the nonsense that we did, because we've again developed our love for Krishna. So now we have a love for matter. Faith in matter, that by enjoying our this material energy, then I'll be happy. We had this faith before, and still that faith is a little there. So Krishna came in our life and he shook up that faith. So it's still there a little bit. So we want to become completely free of this faith that there's any pleasure in material existence. And when we have complete faith that only by serving Krishna will I be happy, then Krishna will reveal himself. And he'll forgive us and he'll forget. He's the most exalted personality. You know, Krishna is the most exalted, the most wonderful person. So for him to forget all our offenses, it's not a big deal. You have to be very exalted, actually, to forgive and forget. So Krishna is the most exalted. So he can do that. Okay?
Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.